We are starting a new series, and I encourage you to read what was put in your mailboxes a week or so ago. That kind of looks like this. It's the mission and vision of FCBC. And there is six areas that we're going to look at that's not going to take six Sundays, because there's some stuff in here that's pretty heavy, some pretty big topics. And we're going to look at that over the next number of weeks. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited the first time I ever read this was when I was looking into applying at the church here and candidating, and like, wow, these people have heard from the heart of God and know where they want to go. Amen? And so just want to encourage us, because, you know, vision leaks, right? And we're all kind of leaky. We need to get it told to us a few times over and over and over again, just like when we were kids, right? You have to remind your kids, pick up your toys, pick up your toys. So I think I don't want it to be kind of a drudgery, so don't think of it that way. But this, I want us to get excited that this is just not just a piece of paper, but this is something that the elders and the council 5 years ago seriously sought the Lord about. And I want to encourage us with that. So just encourage you to check your boxes. If you don't have a copy of this, phone Linda, she'll get you a copy, and just to pray through it as we work through this series. So today we're going to look at vision perspectives. What does this look like? And I want to read the second paragraph, actually the first two paragraphs to begin before we pray, of our vision statement as a church. And then we'll get into praying and into the Word. It says, "The vision of Faith Community Baptist Church is driven by two overarching commands of Jesus Christ. Follow Him, invite others, and invite others to follow Him. We will increasingly become a church that is outward focused, to not be so caught up in ourselves that we miss out on the countless opportunities outside our church walls to share the love of Christ with those who need it. We believe this must begin by placing an inward focus on knowing Christ. Then, according to John 15:5, we will bear much fruit. We will seek to create opportunities for everyone in the body of Faith Community Baptist Church to be nurtured and equipped to grow as individuals and as a faith community in relationship with Christ. We believe that being a Christian goes beyond a belief we have in our mind, and like any thriving relationship, involves a lifetime of pursuing Christ through word and deed, developing a trust built on shared experience. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." Colossians 2:6-7. "Out of this relationship will flow a unity of love for one another within the body of Faith Community Baptist Church, a unity capable of embracing and nurturing diversity, diversity of people and their perspectives, as well as a diversity of spiritual gifts present within the body of Christ." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I thank You for those who have gone before us, just as was mentioned on the video, not only in this church, but especially in this church, those who are the founding members, some who are sitting here today. We thank You for them. We thank You for those who took the time and the intellectual and spiritual effort to sit down and word and craft and ultimately seek Your face, Father God, for the picture of the future and the picture of the present that You have for us. Help us, Lord Jesus, to listen to You through these next few weeks and every day. But Lord Jesus, I pray that You would help us to grow deeper in love with You and more grounded and more focused in the way that You would have us to be. Help us, Lord. We need and we want so much more of You. We want to build our lives on You, to be a part of who You are and the great work of the church worldwide, that we truly are a global enterprise, a global network of Christ-following people who have changed through Your power, through the power of Your Holy Spirit, have changed the trajectory of this world in many ways down through history. And Father God, I pray in boldness now that as we revisit and remind ourselves of our core key areas, that You would unlock doors for us, doors of spiritual connection, with people in our community and with each other, that we would grow in such a diverse and dynamic way that Claire's home would be changed forever and for eternity. This we ask in the powerful name of our soul-changing, life-altering Savior, Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, amen. Are you excited? We're going to talk about vision. Are you awake this morning? Woo! Let's get at her. So there's a scripture in there that you heard, Colossians 2, 6, and 7. I want to expand that to Colossians 2, 1 to 7, and just take a little picture of where we're going as a church. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Colossians chapter 2, starting to read at verse 1. I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you with fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Well, just like that lady on the video was astounded by how impactful the church is. She wanted to know what there's something amazing about what this guy's involved with. What are you up to? What are you connected to? I want that to be the question that people in Claire's home and area and our families ask us. What's going on? There's something awesome that's happening in your life, in the life of the church. But we need to guard ourselves. And I think that sometimes we can follow after something that looks like a good vision or a good way to walk in our own personal lives, but then it leads to emptiness. And Paul here is speaking to two churches, the church of Laodicea and the church of Colossae. The church in Laodicea, we learn about and are reminded of in Revelation chapter 3, that became lukewarm. We all know that one. Right? And if we're not hot nor cold, God will spit us out of his mouth. He's trying to guard both the Colossian believers and the Laodicean believers from false teaching, from fine-sounding arguments, fine-sounding teachings and great philosophies of the present age. One of those particular philosophies was Gnosticism. And there's Gnostic teaching. I don't have time to go into all of it. I'm going to touch on it a little bit. But just as a historical context, to give us some context here. The Gnostic teaching believed only certain people could have this special knowledge, or gnosis in the Greek, of Jesus Christ. Only a select few, a secret club, and not for those who were uninitiated. This heresy that was going through the Colossian church and going through the Laodicean church emphasized the spiritual over the material, saying that the material realm was evil and a person needed to escape the material realm. And I think over time, maybe as we read in Revelation chapter 3, maybe this type of philosophy had ingrained itself in the Laodicean mindset so much that they had become lukewarm. You can read about that in Revelation 3, verses 14 through 18. Paul here, and if you could summarize all of the book of Colossians, the whole letter to the Colossians, it would be this. It is about the supremacy and sufficiency of Jesus Christ. The supremacy and the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus? He is the supreme Messiah who came and died. He holds all things together. He is the creator. He is the sustainer. And he is sufficient in all that he has given us to do. And we don't need to be involved in some secret club in order to know Jesus Christ. We don't have to go through some secret ritual in order to know Jesus Christ, for he has made himself known to all. So we read in verse 2 of chapter 2, these words. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding. In order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. When we think about vision, when we think about knowing and sensing what God is calling us to, that Paul here is saying you need to be encouraged in heart and united in love. A church that's not united is a church that's divided. So if we are divided over philosophy or theology, it can be have a detrimental effect in understanding who Christ is. So we need to be united in love. Have come and may have the full riches of complete understanding. What a powerful statement there is. That is, have the full riches of complete understanding. Does any of you have a complete understanding of who Christ is? No. None of us. Right? We are going in that direction. We are wanting and desiring that. And through what has been written here by our leaders in the last 5 years, and through what we read here in the Holy Scripture, we want to learn and grow and be rooted in the knowledge and in those riches that, and that understanding that Christ wants to give to us and will give to us as we submit ourselves and our minds to Him. The way in which we prepare to receive vision is through encouragement, through exhortation, which is fed by love. You know what? To receive something from Christ, you don't need to be perfect. Right? You don't have to have everything all together. You just need to be open. We need to be open to receiving what He wants to share with us through His Word and through what His Holy Spirit is wanting to teach us. Paul says to us in another epistle to the Corinthians, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Knowledge, again, as a reminder, for knowledge's sake, puffs up. Just like love without knowledge can be just fluff, right? You need to have knowledge. You need to grow in your faith. And I'm encouraged to hear of different small groups such as Curtis's and others that are wanting to grow in that knowledge, not just fake it, but have faith, right? So we need to have true faith that is grounded in the knowledge and the Word of Jesus Christ and all of Scripture. But the source of that knowledge, the desire of that knowledge needs to be love. Needs to be love. So Paul here desires that both the Colossian Christians and the Laodicean Christians would come together in the bond of love to stand against this Gnostic heresy. Sometimes when we are looking for purpose in our lives, we look in the wrong places. Last week I mentioned this as we talked about Ezekiel. People are often desiring and looking for truth, truth and beauty, truth of Christ and the beauty of God displayed in each believer. They're looking for something that is whole and wholesome. And there's bits of truth and bits of beauty throughout our world today. But true beauty and truth are totally embodied in Jesus Christ. Many people today are sensing a state of homelessness. We talked about in the last few weeks about exile and home and what that meant to the nation of Israel. We feel at home. We feel like we can move forward as we know where God is directing us. We know the vision, the focus, where we're going. So oftentimes, as the writer of Proverbs says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. Right? Who here, when you, maybe some of you have gone through periods of your life where you are just feeling restless, feeling listless, feeling unfocused. But as you get back to prayer, you get back to the Word, there's a focus that comes back. There's a vision that comes back. There's a purpose to your life. Zig Ziglar says, when we lose our why, we lose our way. Terry Young from Calgary says, Pastor Terry Young People don't buy what we do. People buy why we do it. People don't buy what we do. People buy why we do it. Why we do it? Why do we come to church? In order to draw closer to Christ. In order to see more of who he has for us. To open our eyes in wonder, as we just sang. Truth itself is not just an abstract concept in our faith. It should be a person. Amen? Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Truth is embodied in the life and the teachings and the ministry of Jesus Christ. Truth is a person. People want peace. People are seeking peace. They're seeking for a place of wholeness. Jesus is that place. We need to keep our focus on him. We read in the prophecy of Isaiah, of his government and peace there will be no end. Having that focus, when we have a vision of Christ and who he is, we can focus and move forward, much like the story we all know about in the Gospels of Peter walking on the water. Right? I think this is a clear picture for us, a vision of what it takes. Right? When we are focused on Christ, there's things that we can't do, but the Spirit does through us supernaturally. Just as Peter was walking on the water, which is defies all scientific logic, right? Of water displacement and everything else that defies every scientific logic of any scientist, no matter how smart. And so we see in that particular picture, Peter taking his eyes off of Christ, and he begins to sink. In our personal lives and the life of Christ, and the life of the church, it's simple, right? If we take our eyes off of Jesus, we put our eyes on ourselves, the church and the vision, we're just going to sink in the mud. We're just going to wander around aimlessly. And Paul was trying to keep the Colossian believers and the Laodicean believers and all of his letters, the Romans, to Timothy, Titus, others, to keep the focus on the main thing, Jesus Christ. His mission needs to be our mission. Simple, right? We need to remind ourselves of that. His mission is our mission. He's called us to go and make disciples. And as we embrace that, as we look into that more in the next few weeks, I pray that there'd be ideas and visions and focuses that would even bubble up in all of us. So as we read God's word, his truth is revealed to us. As I read earlier, in Psalm 119, 130, the revelation of your words brings light and gives understanding to the inexperienced. Understanding. How many of you, how many of us want to understand Christ in our life better? Right? I want to know Christ so much better. I want to know him. I want to press into his presence, into his truths, to be able to understand and be able to walk out. If it wasn't for Christ, this would mean nothing. Right? All the effort and everything that the leaders of this church did would mean nothing if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. That's why they did it, right? And I thank them for that. But I want to know Christ, and I want all of us to know Jesus in a deeper, deeper way. And I don't want this church to be an elite club, and I'm glad it's not. You know, I've been talking to a number of different people, even in the community, and that's the last thing they would say about Faith Community Baptist Church. It's not an elite club, and it's an inclusive family. An inclusive family. What a testimony that's already out in this community about this church. We want to grow that and help people to continue to seek opportunities to be that place of truth, that place of blessing. You know, I heard a statement, I think it was by Charles Spurgeon a number of years ago. Said, you know, sometimes we're the only Bible people read. Sometimes we're the only church that people attend. We. Right? So if we can embody some of these six things that we're going to talk about as a church, some of them apply more as a governance structure thing than they are interpersonal faith. But if we can embody those things, prayer and discipleship and equipping, do you want to see transformation in our town? We want to see that transformation, to see people come to us as the church. Amen? We want to see that, don't we? We want to see growth We want to see people's faces here that haven't been here ever before. Amen? We want to see that. And so we want to help each other to discern what is true and what is right and to be able to understand those hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So these fine-sounding arguments, what were some of them? I'm just going to run through them really, really quickly. Gnostic arguments, they argued again, as I said, there was a hidden knowledge that was hidden about Christ from most believers. Paul countered that Jesus provides all of the knowledge that we need. Gnostics taught that the body is evil. Paul countered that Jesus himself lived in a body on earth. Gnostics said that Jesus only appeared to be human but was not. Paul countered that with Jesus being fully God and fully man. Paul gave a complete vision of who Jesus was to the Colossians and the Laodiceans. This is what godly vision does, folks. When God's words are made plain and understandable, vision and purpose are birthed. When God's words are made plain and understandable, vision and purpose are birthed. Fine-sounding arguments, then, are blown away like chaff. We see this through the prophets, many prophets, but the prophet Habakkuk says this in chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I will give to this complaint. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation, make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and it will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. And verse 4 helps us as well. See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. God's vision will not prove false. The world focuses, if there's a world-focused vision, it often puffs up because the vision is based oftentimes on our own desires. A godly vision is based upon God revealing himself to us because of his faithfulness to us and our openness and faithfulness to him. As we think about vision, as we think about focusing here, we look at verses 6 and 7, which are in our vision statement. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, being rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. You know, it's one thing to accept Christ. It's another thing to live in Christ. What does it mean to live in Christ? I think in the next few weeks, this is what our church desires, is for us to live in Christ, to have him reveal himself and his truth to our minds and our hearts, to allow him to have full access to our minds, to our parenting, to our grandparenting, to our businesses, to every aspect of where we're at. Does he have full access to you? Dominic Robertson, a great philosopher, said, fundamentally, our lives are fundamentally undefinable except in reference to Jesus. I'll say that one more time. Our lives are fundamentally undefinable except in reference to Jesus. There was a missionary who went to a very archaic island many years ago, and began to preach there and taught there for many years and died there. And fast forward 50, 60 years later, another group of missionaries went to the same island as in the Caribbean somewhere, maybe even where Hurricane Dorian went through just recently. It was back in the mid to late 1800s. And these missionaries went there and they began to try to understand the language. They began to try to understand, to be able to speak into the lives of these savages, as they saw them at that time. And so they're encountering some difficulty, some resistance to this effort. And so they started to pray. And then they asked just a simple question to the chief of the tribe. Do you know Jesus Christ? Have you ever heard of Jesus Christ? Said, oh, yes, we have. What? Really? Trying to explain it to you, trying to, work through things, and nothing was working. He said, "Come with me," Chief said. "Come with me." So they went on this winding path through this tropical jungle to a small little white cross that had the name of that missionary that had been there 60 years earlier. Said, "That's Jesus." That's what the chief said. "That's Jesus." You understand what I'm saying? That when we try in our own efforts, right, apart from Jesus, it's going to fall short. We're going to sink into the waves of empty philosophy, empty religion, empty effort that may result in nothing. But if we allow ourselves to live in Christ, to allow him to live in us, be rooted and built up in him, nothing's going to stop us. Nothing. Doors will be unlocked to potential areas of ministry in this church that you never thought possible. The potential that sits in this room, church, is limitless. Amen? Why? Because we serve a limitless God. We serve a limitless Savior. But to tap into that limitless vision, that limitless faith, we must root ourselves in our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ and in his teachings, in his ways, and how he lived his life. We learned through March through May, walking with Jesus. Went through the Gospel of Mark. Faith in Christ. We need to be so connected to Jesus that nothing else matters. Mentioned a few months ago this equation, and it bears repeating in regards to our vision. The grandson of Billy Graham, whose name it's not coming to my mind right now, but he said this. This is an equation that I think epitomizes our vision and should be for the church as a whole in the world. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Counter to that, Jesus plus something equals nothing. Jesus is everything and needs to be everything in our lives. We cannot add anything to Jesus to make our vision, the vision he has for us, any better. And if we're not focused on Jesus and living in him, then our vision is dead in the water before it even starts. So Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Jesus plus anything equals nothing. Well, Paul was trying to help these believers against the deceptive philosophies of the Gnostics. How many of you know there's a lot of deceptions even within and outside the church today? There are a lot of deceptive philosophies that are trying to integrate into our thinking and into our way of living. And so we must guard ourselves in this way. How do we do that? Well, by continuing to soak in his presence, in his word, continue to do what we've been doing, do what the church has been doing here locally, get in the word, pray together, be open with one another. And if you're struggling with a question of faith, what does that look like? I pray that you know someone in this church, someone in your family that can come and you can talk to them about that question and you won't be felt like you were less of a Christian, less of a person. The more we draw our strength from Christ, the less we will be fooled by those who falsely claim to have life's answers. The more we draw our strength from Christ, the less we will be fooled by those who falsely claim to have life's answers. So that when deceptive thoughts do come, we will be able to discern them and be able to go to someone who may be able to discern and help us even more. We'll be like that tree that's planted by waters, Psalm 1 and Jeremiah 17. We will be like the men of Issachar, we read about in 1 Chronicles 12:32, who knew the times and knew what Israel should do. We are living in deceptive times, church. We're living in times where we can easily be led astray. We need to have a vision, a focus, so laser focused, like the men of Issachar, that we would know. These men had a godly vision, so they were able to see things that others were not. Much like in a business way, Walt Disney. I just want to share this with us today in light of what we want to be, what Christ is calling us to be. As Walt Disney World opened in 1974, and Mrs. Disney was sitting beside Walter Cronkite. Walt Disney had passed away a few years earlier. Walter Cronkite wanted to say just the right thing to Mrs. Disney as they saw this celebration and the ribbon cutting. So he leaned over to her and said, "Wouldn't it be great if Walt were here to see this today?" And Mrs. Disney wisely replied, "If Walt had not seen this, you would not be seeing it today." Right? He saw it in advance. And there's something to vision, something that God is birthing in our church to see a future that he has for us. There's something bigger and a depth to the kingdom of God that I believe we're on the cusp of seeing something. If God had not planted the vision in the minds of the founding families of this church, some who I see your faces here today, FCBC wouldn't be here today, right? 1974, 1975. Thank you to those families. Thank you for the vision you had, the future reaching vision, the kingdom vision. And that vision is still here. We want to reach even further. We need to be open to seeing what God has in store, to see where God is at work and join him there, as Henry Blackaby likes to say. How can this happen, though? What can this look like? Well, through prayer and focus and the help of people like Hugh Fraser and others, the leaders here back in 2014, 2015 came up with six areas that they want to see focused on in order to develop the vision. We'll call them vision keys to opening up the potential of what God's kingdom can do here and now. First one is coordinated prayer, which we're going to talk about over the next couple weeks. Second one is discipleship, outreach, equipping, appropriate staffing, and facility development. Some areas that we've seen. And church, I'm excited. And excited to see where God is going to take us. There's places that maybe none of us know about that God wants to take us to. I'm going to read the last paragraph of the vision statement as we close our time together. It says, "Therefore, we will equip the body of Faith Community Baptist Church to be effective agents of influence for the gospel of Christ. We will teach them how to confidently communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever the opportunity presents itself. We will strive to meet the physical, mental, and most importantly, the spiritual needs of those in our community. Our community goes beyond a particular geographic area to all who are within the personal spheres of influence of each person who is part of FCBC. This includes our families, neighbors, workplaces, schools, clubs, etc. Every disciple of Christ will discover and engage the unique mission field in which God has placed them to share the gospel of Christ through word and action." To see the Great Commission fulfilled, to see each one of us, no matter what age, no matter what stage we are in life, that God still has a plan for each and every one of you to live out these six key result areas, to live them out, to see them realized. And I want to say that some of them are being realized over these last 5 years, but some of them need a little shot in the arm or a little different angle to look at. What does that look like? So I want to encourage you to come back over the next few weeks as we go through these different areas to examine them from the scriptures. What does it look like? What does coordinated prayer look like? I think there's some new prayer initiatives that could be taking place. Could be some new discipleship initiatives that aren't taking place right currently, but there's possibilities and they're endless, church. So I want us to close our time together today by standing and reading our vision statement, just as a reminder to us of where our focus is moving forward. So let's stand, stretch. and I'll ask Gerald to come close us. Let's read together. It is our desire to be disciples rooted deep in Christ, continually receiving his life and stability. Like branches, we will reach out to extend the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ to our community and beyond. Close your eyes, please. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you that we want to extend that gift of salvation in Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have in store and the way you want to extend that gift of salvation to our world. Father, I pray for those today that maybe have a sense of visionlessness or just are lacking vision. Father, I pray maybe in their personal spiritual walk of faith, I pray that you would, by the power of your Holy Spirit, just encourage and enliven and help them to feel that sense, to build up in them, Lord Jesus, the sense of power and sense of empowerment to seek you. Help us all to have that, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord Jesus, for and thank you once again for those in leadership over the last number of years who have helped to come to these particular areas that they want to focus on. Help us, Lord. Help me to be able to communicate them in a way that brings encouragement, in a way that brings clarity, in a way that helps us to be built up as a church and to be refocused in an even more of a laser-focused way. Help us, Lord. We just commit these next few weeks. I commit my friends to you. And this week, Lord Jesus, I pray that we would be rooted and built up and strengthened in the faith. We would overflow with thankfulness because of all that you have done for us, all that you want to do. Father, I pray that there would be an increased sense of anticipation of what vision that you want to help us with, to unpack it even more, to understand it even more, so that we would know and live in you, Lord Jesus. Not just believe in you, but live in you and allow you to live in us. So, Father, I pray that if there's any in the congregation here today that just are saying, hey, you know what, don't go there, Jesus, don't go to that part of my life, help us to just be able to release those things and give them over to you. We're not perfect. We are an imperfect group of people that want to live in fellowship with one another and ultimately with you, Jesus, so that the world may know that you have sent us. So I thank you for your presence here today. Go with us. Guide us, Father, I pray, in Jesus' name.